Heavenly Father, we've been in a series called Unchained. We heard from children's messages and from your word, Lord, that we all fall short of your glory. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts right now and that you would just captivate that. Lead us to have transformed lives. Lead us to live for you in light of all that you've done for us. Bless this time as we reflect on your word and really bring home what it is that you would have us learn today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to put a verse on the screen. You haven't seen it yet for this morning, but it's going to be my launching spot for today's reflection by way of a message. It comes to us from Hebrews chapter 12, at least the last half of that verse. It says, "Let us lay aside every weight and sin, which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith." So over the course of the last couple of weeks, I've had the opportunity on a handful of conversations with some of the eighth graders that I get to work with this year through their confirmation curriculum, this year as their pastor advisor. And I said this to them: living life as a Christian is tough. And I expect over the course of the next 25 years, it's only going to get tougher. And for your generation, there's going to be a lot on your shoulders. And I'm praying for you. And I meant that. We had a verse just now that talked about life as described as a race that's meant to be run with endurance. It's meant to be run with encouragement, right? And we're not going to get there on our own the way that verse describes. It says we need to keep our eyes fixed on Christ in order to get through it. Today, as we wrap up that sermon series that we've been going through for this entire month called Unchained, we're going to be reflecting on what it is to live a life free in Christ, and I hope to talk through some very real and relevant issues, and I hope to use the scriptures to point us back to how God would have us live. Life unchained. What comes to your mind when you hear that term? Don't just shout it out, but think about it. What, your life unchained, free of these things? What does that mean to you? When I reflected on that topic, the idea of freedom came to mind. And for us as Americans, we value our freedom. And when there's anything in the world that threatens that freedom, we will fight with everything we have to make sure that our rights are not taken away from us, because we value our freedom and we want to live free. We want to be able to live how we want to live. But what does that truly mean for those of us who want to live free, but we also want to follow Jesus? We're up against an awful lot, and I'm going to share a quote. It's from an actor, a famous gentleman, and I'm not picking just on him. I'm just trying to show you what we're up against, and so if I can have that on the screen. He says this, and this is after a conversation with an atheist group. He says, as a young boy, kindergarten age even, so not much older than what we saw up here. At kindergarten, he was wrestling with this concept of God and just didn't make sense when he saw things that were happening, and it just, life seemed unfair, and how could this God allow this to happen? And so later on as an adult, this is where he came to a conclusion. He says, "When I got untethered from the comfort of religion, it wasn't a loss of faith for me, it was a discovery of self. I had faith that I am capable enough to handle any situation, and there's a peace in understanding that I have only one life here and now, and I am responsible." I chose this quote again, not to pick on him, but he actually uses a term, untethered. And that's the way that we want to live. We want to be able to be free and live life how we want to live. We want to be untethered, nothing encumbering us, nothing holding us back, nothing weighing us down, nothing tripping us up. We want to be able to be free. And this concept that he's struggling with, it actually, it looks like he's come to peace with, but this is, Martin Luther actually describes this even 505 years ago, Right? He uses a Latin term. He's pouring through the scriptures. He's studying the church fathers. And so there's a gentleman by the name of Augustine who kind of begins this conversation. And Luther just kind of brings it home. And he uses this Latin term. It says, incurvatus in se. Well, what does that mean? It's humanity turned inward. Humanity turned in on itself, following its own wants and its own desires. I have another way of looking at this. I'm going to share that in just a moment. I want to punch up a little bit more what Luther says. He says it this way. He says, despite our best efforts to get beyond ourselves, to love and to serve others to the best of our ability, human beings find it impossible to escape the gravity well of self-interest. And we do this unconsciously. We don't even think about it. We just act. And it drives our behavior. Living for self. What we have is sin. And I like to use sin in this way. Sin is an I problem, capital I, where we follow the Holy Trinity of me, myself, and I. We want to be the masters of our own universe. We want to be the masters of our domain. We want to follow our rules and our way of living. Rather than allowing God, a God, to be the one that's righteous or set the tone. Even Bible-believing Christians struggle with that. Paul was very honest in his struggle with sin. In Romans chapter 7, he puts it this way. He says, earlier, before this verse, he says, listen, I don't even understand my own actions. I don't understand my own behaviors, he says. I don't do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Then we get this verse from Romans 7, verse 18. It says, for I know nothing good dwells within me. It's in my flesh. I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry out. Verse 19, I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep doing. From a human perspective, this is our struggle. This is our challenge. When we choose life untethered, when we choose life on our own terms and on our own power, following our own rules, we struggle. We try to find peace. We try and rationalize our behavior. And we're actually okay with saying, all right, I'm going to be an individual. I'm going to do things my way. And we'll put boundaries around it. As long as I'm not infringing on someone else's rights or behaviors or hurting or harming someone else. And what's wrong with me living life the way I want to live it? We want to be free. We don't want to be tied down. Our heart wants to be untethered. And we even go so far as to say it's our right. We have founding documents that speak to that, right? We have the opportunity to have the right of life, liberty, and what? The pursuit of happiness. And there's a lot that I can unpack with that. But what I'm going to suggest is, as a Christian, we want to follow God's way and not the way of the world. In our quest to live a life unchained, are we going to rely on human doctrines and human philosophies, or are we going to trust in God, the Creator? Because here's the thing. The life untethered, it has a destination. Actually, we were standing as a group of pastors. There was about 300 of us up in Boyne Mountain. There was a conference for us. There was a seminary professor who came up and he said, gentlemen, does it feel like the train has fallen off the tracks? And we're all like, yeah. He goes, guess what? If we're living a life untethered from God, the train hasn't fallen off the tracks. It's arrived in the station. And nothing that we're seeing right now should surprise us. Challenge is that next trip for that train, untethered from God, it has a final destination. And this is where my heart breaks, because there is a grave waiting to swallow, patiently waiting for those that want to live untethered from God, waiting to swallow them and silence them. And Paul recognized that that was our fate. Even as human beings, he recognized because of the sinful nature that that grave was waiting patiently to swallow and silence him. And so he struggles with this sin. In the very next verse, he says, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Who's going to rescue me? I am trapped with that being my destination." And he says, "Thanks be to God that through Jesus Christ, our Lord, I myself, even though I'm serving the law of God with my mind, and I want to do that, and my heart is serving my flesh, thanks be to God that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." You see, Christ, through the cross, to the grave, conquered that. And he set us free to live life unchained from him, not untethered, not doing whatever we want, but living for him. Living for the God that so loves his creation that he gave up everything to set us free from sin and every evil. We want to live a life unchained. We need to be anchored in the truth. There's two paths. The life of the Christian recognizes this is our anchor. This is our ultimate influencer. This, God's word, filled with truth. You heard that brought down to a children's level. Filled with truth. Everything God says in here is true. Now, are those that say, "Nah, it's more like a weight with a group of outdated, out-of-touch men are using it to weigh you down, trip you up." And if you don't necessarily agree with it or you struggle with it, just get rid of it or cancel it. I began this message with a reflection of the verse from Hebrews chapter 12 where it said, "Let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely to us, and let's run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith." And in verse 3, the very next verse, what does it say? It says, "Consider him who endured such hostility from sinners unto himself, so that you and I will not grow weary or faint-hearted." Jesus knows living a life as a Christian is going to be a challenge. He knows our sinful nature. He knows where it goes. Apart from him, it's foolishness and it leads to destruction. He's got a better way. So let's bring this home. Let's have some real world application to what God's word has to say with some of the issues of our day. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, it says, "Honor the marriage bed and keep it holy." Well, what does that mean for us as Christian? If we recognize this to be God's word is true, we honor the marriage bed and we keep it holy. We don't give in to the temptation to live together before marriage, somehow trying this out, hoping that this relationship works. We don't do that because it doesn't honor God's plan for marriage. We don't engage in physical intimate acts that are reserved for the rite of marriage, God's plan for that. We don't do that outside of marriage because it robs us of the relationship that God wants us to have in that marriage union. We don't go there. When God's word says in Psalm 139 that he knits us together in our mother's womb and we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and his works know it full well, and that he knows the days that are ordained for us before one of them comes to be, we as Christians recognize that God has a plan for that little life. And when there are laws that are suggested or even passed that say it's okay to terminate an unwanted pregnancy, we as Christians go, "No. There's no. God has a plan for that life." Right? And maybe rather than us as a church lobbing bombs and throwing accusations at people, and maybe there's some of you who are struggling because that's been a decision that you've had to make. Well, know that verse is true for you also from Romans 8:1, that now there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus says, "I see you, I see your struggle, I see your pain, I see the tough decision you had to make, and I still forgive you, and I still want you in my presence." And for we as a church, the best thing that we can do is we can stop using language like "oops" or "accidental babies." God does not have accidents. And we as a church can start to come around those that are struggling with those decisions. We as a church can say, hey, I see you, single mom. And I know that you're maybe a little bit overwhelmed. And what financial resources do you need? What spiritual resources do you need so that we can help you in this journey that you're on? And you're not going to go it alone. That is living differently and free for Christ. When God's word says in Genesis that he creates all of humankind in his image, we as Christians recognize that every life is worthy of dignity and respect, regardless of race, creed, gender, or color. All life matters to God. We as Christians aren't on this planet for a life of happiness and pleasure, to do whatever we want. We as Christians are here to give glory to God and point to him, the one who created the world, who watched it fall into sin, who sent his son to redeem and restore it. We as Christians die to ourselves on a regular basis, saying, Lord, minimize me, maximize you. Let life and love be shine through you. And Lord, when I get it wrong, confront me with your truth. Help me to repent. Help me to live free for you. Help me to live for you. To you be the glory. Amen. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and lives in Christ Jesus. Amen.